glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet, while God is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born.
Good morning, Lena Vista Baptist Church.
Good morning.
In recognition of Flag Day, let's all stand and let's say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please remain standing for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day, and we thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your wisdom. And Lord, first of all, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we pray that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus as their own Lord and Savior, that today will be their day of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. We thank you for our country. We thank you for our church, and we thank you for our families. And Lord, we just pray for our government. Lord, we know that we're going through some stressful times. We thank you for what this flag means to we as Americans. We thank you for the opportunity to meet in your house and to be a part of this service. Lord, we pray that you'll give our leadership in this country strength, and that they'll look to you as we move forward during these times that are with some questions as far as where this country is going to go. Lord, we pray that you'll give the president strength. We pray that you'll give him wisdom. And most of all, Lord, that we pray that you'll give him some leadership. We thank you, Lord, for our military. We thank you for what they stand and the freedom that they give us. Lord, we just now pray for this service. We pray for Brother Kenny that you'll fill him with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just thank you again for all that you do in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's sing My Country, 'Tis of Thee, hymn number 634.
Church, I hope you're doing well. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I appreciate it very much. By way of announcements, to make sure that I don't forget this, on the 5th of July, which is a Sunday morning in a couple of weeks, we're going to reinstate our Sunday school classes. We're going to practice the social distancing as best we can, rearrange some rooms. If you are a lady that's in Sue's class, I'm sure you already know, if you would like to do so, and you're not a part of that class, she's holding Sunday school on Thursday morning in the fellowship hall. Check with Sue, and you can be a part of that as well. Now, when I say we're starting Sunday school back, I mean to tell you that's in the adult divisions, not the children or not the youth. So we're going to try to abide by what the school system is doing as well when getting our students and our children started back up again, and just being as safe as we know how to be with the circumstances and the situations that we find ourselves in right here. I appreciate it. We're still doing church on 10:45 Sunday morning, 6 o'clock Sunday night, 6 o'clock Wednesday night for our Bible study and prayer. We're still having the food ministry, 8 to 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Mark, if I understood correctly, we're starting the choir back in August?
July.
July, I'm sorry. Okay. Same date?
First.
Okay.
We're going to have practice on the first.
Okay. Very good. So if you're part of the choir or would like to be part of the choir, please put that date down and remember that as well. We will get through this. We will do what we need to do, what we have to do until we can do what we want to do. I want to thank you for your continued faithfulness. For those of you who are listening in, thank you for your faithfulness as well. And may God bless and all the things that we are endeavoring to do for his glory and for our growth as well. If I forgot any announcement, I apologize. We'll make that up. If you're wondering about offering or anything related to that, there's a box out there on the table as you come in. If you want to put your your offering in that. We'd be happy to let you do that as well. So thank you so much. Join me, if you would, while we pray. Lord, I want to thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be here this morning. Father, my prayer is really simple. Speak to us, and up close and personal, may the things that are done here today have an impact on our life. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are. Thank you, Father, as we remember Flag Day and the value that comes in that, Lord. With all of our problems, I still believe that without a shadow of a doubt, we live in the greatest nation on the planet. And what a privilege is ours. And as Marcus prayed earlier, Lord, thank you. And be with us, be with our government, be with our leadership, be with all of those who have the decisions to make. And help us, Lord, as a church, to make right decisions, to make good decisions, to make wise decisions. Lord, we thank you for all that you are, for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's continue our worship service by singing hymn number 426, Victory in Jesus. Let's everybody stand, please.
I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came.
At this time, would like to come forward along with the deacons. This is our altar and time of prayer. If anybody'd like to join.
Let's go to a word of prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today, each and every one of us. Lord, open our hearts, our ears, Lord, that we can hear the message today. Be with Brother Kenny as he gives it. That, Lord, it can mean something to us and share with someone else in this old sinful world. Lord, I just wish folks would love one another in this old world and get back to how it all started, Lord, through your love that you created each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, be with our military, all branches, keep them out of harm's way best as possible, Lord. Lord, just be with today that we come into an air-conditioned building, Lord, to serve you and praise you. Lord, I thank you for just loving us before we even recognized you, that you recognized us, Lord. I just want to thank you and praise you, and thank you for the many blessings that you put upon us each day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Let's sing 10,000 Reasons.
Holy name, sing like this.
Singing this morning. Before Brother Kenny comes, Randy's going to sing for us.
Before I sing, I would like to read something for you. It was given to us, a flight to honor. We landed in Lakeland about 9:45 that night, and every one of us got one, and I thought it was appropriate. When you open it up, it says, God bless America. And it reads, Stars of Gratitude for Our Veterans. These old stars are from our American flag. They have proudly flown over a home in the United States. They can no longer fly. The wind, the sun, and the rain have made them tattered and torn. We present them as a thank you for all that you have done for our country. This is for all veterans, and the ones who have fallen before us. And we honor their name. This is what the flag stands for. It stands for freedom. And it was paid with a price. And tomorrow all the things are gone I worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, for my flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died and gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and relive her for today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, from New York to L.A., there's pride in every American's heart, and it's time we stand and say, I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died and gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Proud to be an American, well at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died and gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. God bless the USA.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Randy. Appreciate that. If you have a Bible with you this morning, or if you want to get one out of the pew in front of you, we're still talking about the life of Joseph. Going to continue this story. It just gets better and better as the days go on, as the time goes on. And I want to talk to you a little bit about something that very few people really like to do. Wait. Title of the message is Wait While God Works. And I really want to just read one verse and then pray over that verse as well. Look at chapter 40 in the book of Genesis. Chapter 40 in the book of Genesis, verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. Pray with me again if you would, Lord. This is your word, and we thank you so much for the privilege of being able to open the book and just read it. We don't have to jump through any kind of hoops. We don't have to ask for permission. We have the privilege, Lord, to own our own Bibles, to come and worship in a corporate setting like this, to sing the songs of the faith, to have a fellowship time even at a distance, to hear prayers and a Father to be able to fellowship together. Well, and I just pray, Father, that you would open our minds and our hearts and our spirits to your word, Lord, which is absolutely true. And as we continue telling the story of Joseph's life, Father, I pray that you would speak to us in undeniable ways. Holy Spirit, I ask you to make the word of God absolutely real to us, that we would not leave here this morning the same way that we showed up. Because I believe deep down inside, and I believe that the Bible teaches us that worship changes us. So, Father, help us to drop the preoccupations that we might have brought this morning, not thinking about what we're going to eat for lunch or where we're going to go. And, Lord, just give us pause for just a few minutes while you speak to us. Speak to me today, Lord. Speak through me today. For your glory, Father, and for my growth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Waiting. Don't you just love it? Doesn't matter where or when or even why. I mean, we might be in the doctor's waiting room. Maybe it's in the drive-thru. And the longer this goes, the worse it gets in my own mind. Maybe it's at the traffic light. And the light is green, and the car in front of you is yet to move. I used to say to my Sunday school class, if I'm behind you at the traffic light and the light turns green, in 0.4 seconds, if you're not moving forward, I'm not happy. Can y'all relate at all? Can anybody relate? Can I get a testimony? Yeah, I thought so. Okay, feel like I'm in good company. You know, maybe you're trying to make a left-hand turn on a two-lane road. And there's a line of cars coming at you. Does it ever cross your mind that it only takes about 3 seconds for somebody to flash their lights and let you turn left? Is that such a difficult thing to do? Or would I just be better off and say, you know what, they got places to go and places to be, you know, and I'll just wait for those 23 cars so I can finally turn left. Maybe that's my humanity sticking out here. Maybe we're wondering, even more importantly, we're wondering when or if God's going to answer the prayer we've been praying for a good long time. Maybe it's life in slow motion. Somebody should just press the pause button and let's just recover the emotions and the attitudes that we have. I'll be honest with you, church, I don't like waiting. I've never met many people that would honestly look you in the eyes and say, oh, I enjoy waiting. It's the coolest thing on the planet since sliced bread. I really, really like to wait. You know, and it's not all that pleasant, and I get it. We're kind of, as Max Lucado would say, we're the giddy-up generation. You know, we want instant grits. We want minute rice and immediate gratification. So waiting is really good, right? Boy, it's quiet in here all of a sudden. I don't remember too many moments when waiting was fun. You know, we don't like it. Let's just get real. I want my minute rice in 30 seconds. You know, I want to be the only one in the drive-thru. And what's more is I want you to flash your lights so you can let me turn left. Waiting. Is there any good in it? Can God do anything while we wait that he might not do in the moment that we ask? Waiting on God's call is difficult. Well, God, I've been praying this prayer for a week, a month, a year. I've been asking you to do something special in my life, and I haven't seen anything special just yet. Circumstances that I started with yesterday are the same circumstances that I'm starting with today. And to be quite honest with you, if I'm really up close and personal and I'm really just express what I really, really feel down deep, God, it's about time you do something. I learned a very difficult lesson, and I've shared this with you before, but it's appropriate at this particular place and time to share it with you again because it literally changed my life. Years ago, I had a fungal infection in my eye, and it was very bad. And I was a couple of days away from losing my eyesight completely in my left eye. And by the grace of God, they found the problem, and they fixed it. I was blind in my left eye for almost 8 months, and life really did change. Diane and I still had the lawn service. I couldn't go up and down the ramp because my world kept spinning around and around and around, and I couldn't get up and on my lawnmower and off my lawnmower. And to be quite honest with you, it was fairly miserable physically. But it was even more miserable physically and spiritually because my life verse is Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. So somewhere along the line, I couldn't find the slot where this fit into that verse, but I still believed it. And as time went on, I wore my patch over my eye. I went to Sunday school when I was teaching at First Baptist Church at the mall. I'd walk into Sunday school class and everybody would go, "Arr! The pirate is here. Let him teach." Yay, that's such fun. I knew what they meant. They were trying to encourage me and cheer me up. Months went on. I've never had anxiety attacks in my entire life. I had them then. What I really wanted to do was to go in my office and turn the lights out, put on my Christian music, and just sit there in the dark and let God speak to me through the music. And I did that. Not a lot, but enough. So I have a doctor's appointment on this particular day, and I've not been going too well emotionally and mentally. And I walk into the doctor's office, and he was used to seeing me in an up spirit. He wasn't used to seeing me frustrated or quiet. And he looked over at me, and he said, "You seem rather distant today." And I said, "Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just kind of tired of all this." And he encouraged me a little bit, so I'm in my study. I'm getting ready for Sunday school a week or so later. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about Romans 8:28. And this is not the exact words that came out of my mouth because I don't remember the exact words, but it went something like this. "Okay, Lord, I believe that you said that everything, you know, that you make good out of everything. You know, all these things that we're going through, you can do something special for those who love you. And you know that I love you. But I'll be honest with you. Today would be a really good day for that to happen." And that's kind of the attitude that I had. It was like, "God, I'm tired of waiting. If you're going to do something, would you do something now?" And then I had something happen that I'll never forget. I didn't hear a voice out loud in my study. There was no theophany where a bright light shined forth in my study, and it was unmistakably God who had showed up in spirit form. But these are the words that I heard in my heart and in my ears. "You want me to do something good for you, okay? Here's something good for you. I need you to get to the place where your faith begins to tell your feelings how to feel instead of your feelings telling your faith what you ought to believe about me and my care of your life. And I broke down like a child. I think about it today, and it still brings tears in my eyes, and I have a hard time expressing how that really goes. But here's the gold in that moment. My faith needs to tell my feelings how to feel on a regular basis, because there are moments I just don't understand what God is doing or what God is not doing. Instead of the feelings that I might have on that day or any other particular day, where my feelings begin to whisper in my ears, maybe this is not all cracked up to be. Maybe God's on vacation. Maybe God didn't hear your prayer. Maybe you were two prayers past his limit for the day. Maybe he really doesn't care whether or not he's going to fix what's wrong inside of you. That's the devil, my friends, whispering in my ear. And he'll whisper in your ears as well. And you'll get to the place, if you're not careful, where what you feel begins to run your life. Your feelings becomes the engine on your train. And your faith becomes the caboose. And it winds up sometimes being the last thing that we hold on to. And what it helped me to understand is, when it doesn't feel right on the inside, when it doesn't feel right between my ears, when my thoughts and my feelings are out in left field, I need to go back to what I believe. And listen, this thing about Joseph today, I can assure you that that's what he did. Could there possibly be any value in waiting on God? Listen, my friends, a lot of what happens today is a test. Okay, there's a pop quiz every day. Satan never sleeps. He never rests. He always whispers in my ear and in your ear that we should doubt God, that we should wonder where God went when it gets to be the worst it's ever been. And as I sat there in that study, my study that day, I thought, wow, that's gold. That's exactly what I needed to hear. God works all things, including your fungal infection and the ulcer across your eye that won't allow you to see. You got a surgery coming, and at some point in time, you're going to see again. And the doctor told me that day that I was so sad in his office and so frustrated in his office. He said, listen, let me cheer you up just a little bit, Kenny. He said, I've just looked in your eye, and your eye is doing better. He said, I'm going to leave you, and I'm going to the hospital to remove a lady's eye who had the same thing that you have. And had you been 2 days later, we'd be removing your eye as well. Does he care? Oh, yeah. Are we impatient? Oh, yeah. So what would it take for you and I to slow down? What would it take to push the pause button and not just ask things in prayer, but listen when he speaks? It took that moment in my study to open my eyes. I absolutely must let my faith dictate my feelings. Because, my friends, if you don't, then your engine is your feelings, and you are in for a real difficult ride. And you might say, Pastor, you don't understand how I'm put together. Probably not. But I understand what his word says. You're not by yourself in any place that you go. Any struggle that you have, especially as his child, you are not by yourself no matter what. And Joseph teaches us a number of very valuable questions. Are very valuable lessons in this whole process here, and I want to share a little bit of it with you. You know, if anyone who knew how the process of waiting actually works out, sometimes, you know, for our benefit, when we keep our head screwed on and when we understand the real need for our faith to be our engine and not our caboose. If anyone on the planet understood that, Joseph understood that. You know, we can read his entire story from chapter 37 to chapter 50 in less than an hour. And when we read that, we get this impression that all this took place after breakfast one morning. Well, no, that's not at all what happened, my friends. I need you to understand that. Try a couple of decades, not a couple of hours. Try the things that Joseph went through. Consider what we already know. He was sold by his brothers, hated by his family, by his brothers, thrown into a cistern probably to spend several hours in there. Then he was sold off into Egypt. It's a 750-mile journey. That's probably at least a month. When he got there, he's auctioned off, which would have been hours or maybe even days. You know, probably a decade he lived inside of Potiphar's house, having complete control over that. And now prison, really, for something that he did not do? Why wouldn't he just get bitter? Why wouldn't he just get cold? You know, time creeps, doesn't it, while we're waiting? It seems like it's forever in between those weeks that we get for vacation. Why is it that if you really enjoy something, why is it over so quickly? And if you really dislike it, why does it take all day to get it done? You know, I mean, these are just realistic approaches to looking at Joseph as a real human being. You know, all is not lost, and hope has not been destroyed in his life, and his spirit, you know, has not been crushed. If you look at chapter 39 and you read verses 20 through 23, this is really good stuff. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up his head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief priest or the chief baker, and Joseph had as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. See, you know, there's going to be a test here. If you tell a story about the butler and the baker, it's somehow they had angered Pharaoh. I don't know what they did. The Bible doesn't say what they did, but he put them in prison. He put them in the same place where Joseph was at, and Joseph had the responsibility to help take care of them. It wasn't a good day for them. You know, we don't know what they did, but they're there. Joseph is in charge of them. They both dream a dream. Now get this. You want to hear about the heart of Joseph? Joseph notices that these guys are sad. And he asks them why he's sad. He's a prisoner himself. Why would he care? Because there's a big old heart in Joseph. Because there's faith in Joseph. Because no matter what he has dealt, he does the right thing with it. No matter how uncomfortable or frustrating it might be. No matter how far away it might feel like God is, Joseph understands that he's just as near as he wants him to be. And he can call on God to help him, and he does. Joseph hears out their story. We've had a dream, and we can't interpret it. We don't understand what it's all about. He says, can you do that, basically? Joseph said the interpretations of God. He wouldn't even take credit for the ability to tell them what the interpretation was. So he makes this request. They make the request to Joseph. He tells them exactly what it means. Good news for the butler, bad news for the baker. In 3 days, one of them is going to be restored, the butler, and in 3 days, one of them is going to lose his life. So Joseph said what needed to be said, and then he says, as the butler is going to be restored, hey, listen, how about remembering me? When you get out of here, look at verse 14 and 30 in chapter 40. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. This is going to be the closest you ever get in reading Joseph's story, where he actually shows you that it bothers him that he's where he's at. For indeed I was stolen away, verse 15, out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. So he interprets their dreams for them. He tells the butler, when you get out, remember me, mention me to Pharaoh. And he said, I don't belong here, but I'm here. I've done absolutely nothing to deserve being in this place. So would you please, when your opportunity allows you, would you remember me in front of Pharaoh? Scripture tells it very clearly, beginning with chapter 41, verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. So now we're going from weeks and months into years. Now Joseph is still in the prison for something that he has not done. He is there, and it only takes a couple seconds to read these verses, but it took a couple of full years for Joseph to live it out and experience it. I realize that sometimes our prayers are brief. Sometimes they're very much to the point. And I realize sometimes God takes his sweet time in answering our prayers. You think about this for Joseph. Somebody broke this down for me. 104 weeks of waiting. 730 days of wondering if God is hearing his prayer. 17,520 hours of listening for God and things being completely silent. Plenty of time for him to become angry, bitter, distant, cynical, you name it. When's the last time you waited 2 full years for God to answer a prayer for you? Were you anything at all like this preacher? Well, now be a good day. If you're listening up there, now be a really good day. If all things work together for good, then how about working some things together for good? Because I sure don't like where I'm at right now today. I wouldn't recommend shouting at God like that, but I did. And I'm not proud of it. And I share it with you only to let you know that God doesn't give up on you and I. We give up on him. And not to do that. But almost like a commercial in the middle of a movie that we're watching, you hear these words. Look at chapter 41, verses 9 through 13. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and he put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he, and we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream, and there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew servant, to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dreams he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored into mine office, and then them he hanged. 2 full years. Painful to be forgotten, isn't it? Painful not to matter. Painful not to get what you asked for. The thing about it is with Joseph is he never gave up the hope that God was listening. He never stopped asking God to do what only God could do. And 2 full years later, the baker says, or the butler says, oh my word, I now remember my faults. I now remember that this young man asked me when I got out of here if I would go mention him unto the Pharaoh. And I didn't do it. So Pharaoh, after hearing this, he sends for him. They clean him up. They dress him in new clothes. They shave him. And he's brought unto Pharaoh, because Pharaoh needs his help here. I want you to consider this. The last 2 times he mentioned God, it hadn't gone very well for him. He told Pharaoh's wife, I'm not going to sin against God or nor my master. And she falsely accused him of rape, and he was put in prison. When he talked about the butler, everything was well for the butler, didn't go well for the baker. Should he do it again? Should he mention God's name again? The truth of that matter is, absolutely. Because you see, Joseph didn't want to take credit for something that came from God. You know, he emerged from his cell bragging on God, not on himself. Jail time didn't devastate his faith. It deepened his faith. So having said that, let me just put this in a nutshell. Are the things that are going on in our lives right now in this very moment, whether they are self-inflicted by chosen sin in our life, or if we are indeed a true victim from somebody else's irresponsibility, are those things driving us to our Lord Jesus, or are they driving us away? Are we understanding that, yes, life is a test? There will be a pop quiz. Do we understand that God will test you and I, whether we ask for it or not, not to tear us down and have us to fall apart and disappear, but we will grow to trust him in the middle of all this, that he knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows exactly how to do it and when to do it and to whom to do it to. That he has my best interest and your best interest in mind, and there's not a circumstance on the planet in which God could not be glorified in our lives if we so choose to see his hand in that way. I don't mind telling you, I thought about this message over and over again, and this thought came through my mind. Kenny, it seems like you're preaching the same thing every single week. We're going to make it through this mess. Yeah, probably so. To some degree. Maybe I'm preaching a little bit of the same stuff. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it. As believers, you and I need to be reminded on a regular basis that God's got our back. We need to be understanding that he will allow us to go places that we would never choose for ourselves, so that while we are there, he might teach us something that would be life-changing. I'm still getting to deal with this crazy eye. Y'all saw me leave and walk back there a few minutes ago because I have a hard contact in this eye that don't like staying where it's supposed to stay. And I'm down here singing a few minutes ago, and all of a sudden I felt an itch in my eye, and the wrong thing to do, obviously, is to rub your eye, but guess what? That's what I did. I rubbed my eye, and when I opened my eye back up, the whole left side is nothing but a big blur. Why is that? Because my contact is off my eye. So I make a little trip back there to my bride, and she already knows why I'm coming, and she's reaching in to get her glasses, and she gets to put it back where it belongs. Do I really like living with a contact? Of course not. Do I like being able to see out of that eye? I think you know. That 7 months was miserable because it was right at the beginning of the lawn service season. And it was just Diane and I running the business. And here I am, I can't even ride my lawnmower down out of the back of the trailer because the world's doing this. Make no mistake, that's the toughest woman I know. And she never quit. And I did what I could do, and she did what she could do. And the lesson learned in my office, it's like gold. I'm an emotional person, and you know that. You've seen it. God gets a hold of my heart, squeezes it real good, the water comes out my face, and I'm all right with that. Sometimes I don't like the timing. Sometimes I wish I could not have to do that in front of people, but I'm not ashamed of it, and I need you to know that. It's just how I'm wired and how God put me together. But I wouldn't trade what he taught me in those 7 months. You have no idea the difference that it's made in my life. Because when I get too emotional, I'm reminded, I got this, okay? Look for what's good here. Don't get all twisted up in your emotions. Don't get all twisted up in what you feel. Get satisfied and prayed up and encouraged by what you know is absolutely true. So Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dreams, and everything begins to change. So let's not talk about Joseph for a minute. Let's talk about you and me. You ever really and truly sat down and pushed the pause button long enough to realize that sometimes waiting is really like gold? Sometimes pausing from the craziness that's called the life that we live on this planet. Have we ever just stopped? And most of our prayer was listening instead of speaking. Have we ever really considered that human being just like you and I, Joseph, being young, did not deter his faith? If you're here and you're young, or if you're out there in the radio world or the whatever world it is that we listen to, if you're young, my friends, make sure you understand that wisdom can come to the young, not just to the old. You can make good choices just because you haven't been on the planet a long time. Doesn't mean that you can't make good choices. Some of the greatest wisdom that's ever come my way came from some of the students that I had the privilege to be their youth pastor over the 25-year stretch that God let me do that. Listen, our kids have got some wisdom, and we need to pay attention to a lot of what they say. You know, there's two kinds of people in the whole world that's going to tell you exactly how it is. That's children, because they don't know any better. And here goes, and we'll get in trouble here. And that's old people, because we don't care any longer. It's not really true, you know that. That's what I've been told. So waiting. Will you emerge from your waiting praising God? Or will we emerge from our waiting saying, well, it's about time, don't you think? I'm your child, I deserve better. I'm your child, I expected better. I'm your child. Where have you been in the middle of all of this? What is the problem? Be careful, my friends, that's not the right choice. While you wait, and while I wait, God works. Sometimes you can't see it. Sometimes you can't feel it. Sometimes you might not even believe it. But while we wait, my friends, God works. All this time, these 2 years in prison, Joseph never lost his confidence in God. He never lost his understanding that God will allow some things to bring you to where he wants you to be. Joseph would become a great leader. And we'll get there. There'll be weeks more. I hope you don't get tired of this short story, because I think it's the greatest short story in the entire scripture. Joseph will become second in charge in all of Egypt. Joseph will be used of God to bring food to Egypt, and they will feed nations upon nation, because they'll be one of the only places. You see, Pharaoh had this dream, and I didn't talk about that dream, but he talked about several things that were taking place in his dream. He called in his people that were supposed to be wise and be able to interpret that dream, and they couldn't do it. So when he found out that there was this little Hebrew guy in his prison who had interpreted the dreams for the butler and the baker, he calls him in. And you know what? The thing about it is the scripture is not just true here. John chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work as well." No days off. No vacation time, no wasted time. The scripture says God works always. You might be idle, I might be idle, but he's not. God works in the middle of the process. You know, it would appear at first glance that prison was a 2-year test without any kind of passing grade or that any kind of lesson learned here. Joseph is in shackles, forgotten for the most part, falsely accused, all while he's still faithful to God, and we've been over that in weeks past. But God had assembled all the characters needed and necessary to turn this whole thing around. He'd put them all in the same place. He'd set in motion the events that were going to come up to this point. So Joseph, while Joseph waited, God actually works. God says, "Be still and know that I'm God." What part of that do we have a problem with? Being still. You know, we're like the Energizer Bunny. What's next? Bang, 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 bang. What's next? I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. We can't stop. We don't know how to pause. Like I said, we live in, like Max Lucado said, we live in the giddy-up generation. We don't want a neutral. We don't want a park. We want to drive. And we want to drive number two that goes faster. You know, and I'm not shooting at you, my friends. This is my life as well. Okay? I don't do nothing very well. By do nothing, I mean sitting and doing nothing. My sons are even worse, and I know where they got it. and God forgive me. We sometimes just need to be still. You know, you rest. Let him work. That's a good idea, right? Awesome plan. But only if you're on board with it. God's willing to work. He's willing to do what needs to be done. He's willing to do what you can't do. But we have to let him do that. What about the Hebrew people? What about Moses at the Red Sea? This is the word of God in Exodus chapter 14. Do not be afraid. Stand still. That sounds like craziness. And see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall what? Hold your peace. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. If you are standing by the Red Sea, and if you can see the Egyptian army in full force, kicking up the dust and coming after you, and you're between a rock and a hard place, you're between the devil and the deep blue sea, and these words come to you, don't be afraid, just stand still and watch what I'm going to do. It's true with a lot of others in the scripture. Mary, mother of Jesus, Nehemiah, Joshua, Daniel, the lion's den. Let me read something for you. This is Max Lucado, and this is his personal, transparent testimony. He said, waiting is a lot easier read than done. Doesn't come easily for me. I've been in a hurry my whole life. Hurrying to school, hurrying to finish homework, pedal faster, drive quicker. I used to put my wristwatch face on the inside of my arm so that I wouldn't lose the millisecond that it took me to look at it. What insanity. Really? I wonder if I could have obeyed God's ancient command to keep the Sabbath day holy, to slow life to a crawl for 24 hours. The Sabbath was created for frantic souls like me, people who need this weekly reminder. The world will not stop if you do. And what of this command? Three times a year, all your men are to appear before the sovereign Lord, the God of Israel. I will drive out nations before you and enlarge your territory, and no one will covet your land when you go up three times each year to appear before the Lord. Exodus 34. Excellent words. God instructed the promised land settlers to stop their work three times a year and gather for worship. All commerce, education, government, industry came to a halt while the people assembled together. Can you imagine this happening today? How odd it would seem. Our country would seem ultimately and utterly defenseless. Years ago, I got an opportunity to become an independent distributor for Little Debbie snack cakes. Partially responsible. I called it quality control. Can't sell something that you can't trust, so you need to sample that. When I got to be a Little Debbie snack cake distributor, my two sons thought I was Santa Claus 365 days a year because the trailer parked at home. But as I got to know McKee Foods, who were the owners, O.D. McKee, the Little Debbie picture that's on the package, if you still eat those things, that's his actual granddaughter. That's a real picture. But what I found out was something very impressive. They're Seventh-day Adventists. And they're very devoted Seventh-day Adventists. On Friday night at 6 o'clock in Collegedale, Tennessee, just outside of Chattanooga, that bakery comes to a complete halt. And they don't operate and they don't run nothing for 24 hours. I couldn't even call my district manager from Friday night at 6 o'clock until Saturday night at 6 o'clock when their Sabbath was over. No business, no phone calls, nothing related to the Little Debbie distributorship. They simply pushed the pause button and gave God the time that he deserves. I was impressed by that. Although I'm Southern Baptist all the way to my socks, I was impressed by that. because it mattered to them what God thought. It mattered to them that they would give him some necessary time. And I was impressed with all of that. So what's in this for us, Kenny? What are you trying to say? I think you know. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says it best. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Fresh strength, renewed vigor, legs that don't grow so weary. Delight yourself in God and he will bring you a peace that this world has no offer. Nothing. I don't know what your circumstances is. I don't know where you're at exactly. But I know where God is. And he knows exactly where you are. And in this time of waiting that you and I are frustrated with, in this time of social distancing, in this time of not being able to do what we would really like to do, are we going to waste that time, or are we going to look to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and let him do something in our lives right now that will matter? Listen, I didn't like waiting the 7 months for my surgery. But that day in my study changed my entire life. That, you know what? Every now and then, we just need to get out of the way and let God do something in our downtime that we would never be able to do for ourselves. Do you get it? It's okay to wait. Not forever, but it's okay to wait. We will survive God's waiting room, known as this planet. And you'll be pleasantly surprised when you realize that he's been in the chair right beside you the whole time, keeping you company while you wait. That's our God. That's what he does. That's who he is. Joseph would remind us that in this deep, dark, depressing prison, that he was never, ever alone. And church, the good news, neither are you. You're never by yourself. Will you open your eyes and pay attention while you're in park, so to speak, what God has for you? Many lessons are here to be learned, and I pray that we learn them. Give God a chance, my friends. That's all he's asking for. Maybe your circumstance is, if you're completely honest, you say, I can't call on God. I don't know him. I don't know anything about him. I heard about him. There have been some rumors out there. I've listened to a few things in my lifetime. But to be honest with you, up close and personal, I don't know him. Never asked him to be my Lord and Savior. Never tried to live my life out as a believer, because I'm not one. Well, the greatest news for today is that waiting time does not have to be wasted. You have an opportunity right now in this moment, whether you're in this building or whether you're outside of this building. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you given him the chance to give you the strength that you could not find on your own? And I'm going to be simple with this. We cannot have a come forward invitation just yet. I'm going to pray a prayer here in just a moment. And if you would genuinely desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you pray that prayer with me, Ellen and Matt, if you all will come to the instruments? It's real simple. Just bow your head and close your eyes, those of you who are here, even in your home, down the road in your car, sitting in your yard, wherever you're listening. If you want to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, would you please just pray this prayer silently with me? Lord, I realize that I'm lost. I'm as lost as yesterday. There's never been a time in my life ever that I have asked you to be my Savior. And I acknowledge and admit that I can't save myself. And I also believe that you are indeed the Savior of the world, that you came and died on that cross so that my sins could be forgiven and that I could be your child. So I confess right now in this moment, would you please forgive me of my sins? Would you come into my heart this very moment and make me your child? So, Lord, I admit and I believe and I confess. Save me now. Please forgive me of my sins. And in Jesus' name, in your name, Lord, I want to thank you for loving me that much. And I pray this prayer in your name. Amen. My friends, if you're in this building today and you prayed that prayer, please let me know. Please let somebody here know. If you're out there, you don't have a pastor, I would love to share with you what you just did and what it means. If you have a pastor, by all means, if you prayed that prayer, you need to go see him up close and personal. Need to say that into his ears. I gave my life to Christ Sunday morning, June the 14th at Lena Vista Baptist Church. And he will help you with that next step. Whatever you do, tell somebody. Church, I love you, and I thank you, and I appreciate you for all that you are, for all that you do. To God be the glory, my friends, and learn to wait. God bless you. You're dismissed.